For our first story, meet undergraduate pre-medical student Ryoko Hamaguchi.
Hi, my name is Ryoko Hamaguchi, and I am a sophomore at Stanford University, and I'm majoring in biology.
When she came to Stanford, Ryoko had pretty dramatic expectations of what it was like to be a doctor. She says she felt like she would be an angel of compassion. But when she began working as a volunteer at the emergency room, she realized she was pretty far from being an angel of compassion. Every time she witnessed other people suffering, she wanted to run away. Sometimes she actually ran away. What she was feeling is called compassion fatigue, and it's actually a huge problem in the medical field, because it means that doctors stop treating their patients like people. Ryoko was worried that her compassion fatigue meant that she shouldn't be a doctor. But then she took a class that taught her a new way to think about the emergency room.
I came to Stanford kind of vaguely thinking that I wanted to go into medicine, but if someone asked me why I wanted to be a doctor, I couldn't give kind of like a genuine answer, and I wanted that very badly. It was really a mixture of just the general sense of helping someone that appealed to me a lot. I felt like having the heart of a doctor, being really fit for that profession, would mean that you would put everyone else's needs over yourself. So you would forget about your hunger, forget about your sleep, and you would just reach out to everyone. And that was what I envisioned to be like the perfect doctor. And I thought that being in the ER, I would feel this kind of swell of compassion, wanting to help everyone, and having that joy would kind of let me know that I'm fit for this job, and this was the path that was right for me. About a year and a half ago, right when I started Stanford, I joined this organization called SCOPE, and it stands for Student Clinical Opportunities for Pre-Medical Experiences. Like a mouthful, so we just call it SCOPE. Essentially volunteers in an emergency department, not at Stanford, but at the Santa Clara Valley Medical Center, so that's another hospital a little ways away. Do a combination of shadowing attending physicians in the ER, but we also kind of help with the flow of the ED, so we help bring supplies to the physicians, and we bring blankets, and we bring water and food to the patients. I wasn't really envisioning what the patients would look like. I kind of thought they would all be the same, suffering on the same level. They were just uniform. And then once I got to the ER, it was very, very different. And I saw different patients with different stories, and it was just this bubble of suffering and pain that I was kind of thrown into, and I was just so overwhelmed. And then probably maybe a month or two ago, it was at the very, very end of my shift. I was actually leaving, but someone called a major trauma, which is like the highest level of trauma that can come into an ER. And it was this boy, maybe like 17 years old, and he was in a wheelchair. He was disabled. And apparently his heart stopped. He stopped breathing. So the parents brought him into the ER. And the ER physicians and the ER techs and the nurses and surgeons from upstairs and whatnot just came into the trauma room. And it was a violent resuscitation because so many nurses were kind of like climbed up onto him and performing CPR. And his parents were just crying and screaming. And the nurses were rushing from the trauma room to the hallway trying to get to the patient. And the parents at the same time was just mass chaos, and I just felt myself just kind of clam up, and I remember physically just shuffling slowly away from the trauma room, just kind of backtracking, and then I think I actually locked myself in the staff locker room where I keep my stuff, and I was just kind of sitting there until it was time for me to leave. And that was one of like the most extreme cases that I'd had, but even before then in some of the other shifts that I had throughout the year, I felt myself become weirdly more hypersensitive to my own body, which is kind of weird, but if I was feeling hungry or if I had if I hadn't slept that well the night before, then I became more aware of that and I like latched onto that physical sensation. So if I felt that I was hungry, I would be thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm hungry. Or if I'm sleepy, like I need sleep. And I feel like after those shifts, I just felt so guilty and so ashamed walking out of the hospital because I had envisioned myself becoming compassionate and reaching out to others, and instead I feel like I literally became self-centered. I may have had maybe the brains of a doctor or the work ethic of a doctor in terms of academics and having the drive, but in terms of having a heart of a doctor, I felt maybe I didn't. And like that thought was just devastating to me. And then maybe a month ago, I was in an essay writing class here taught by Andrew Todhunter. He was talking to our class about compassion fatigue in trauma medicine. It fit with what I was encountering. And I don't know too much about it, but I know that it is very common. It is called compassion fatigue. Sometimes it's called burnout also. I guess it's common in all medical fields, but particularly in ER medicine, trauma medicine. So doctors and techs and nurses involved in that field, they're exposed to so much pain every day with every patient, and they're unable to feel compassionate or connect with these people anymore, and they kind of distance themselves. And he gave us one mantra and one metaphor to kind of put in our minds when we're encountering suffering. So in his class, I think he was talking about his own experiences as an EMT. So he was in kind of the same situation that I was. And at one point, he himself felt kind of clammed up when he was surrounded by all of these people in pain. And he asked one of the veteran, I think, nurses for advice about that. And she taught him two things that have stuck with him like throughout his life. And one was a mantra that was called just being open. And the other one was a metaphor of being a conduit. Instead of envisioning yourself as kind of a bottle with a limit and just taking in everyone's suffering until you just shut off and don't take anymore, but instead just seeing yourself as a conduit with no set limit and just accepting people's pain and having it just pass through you. So I used those two metaphors in the next shift that I had in the ER. So I always just reminded myself, just be open. And whenever I interacted with patients who were in pain, I would imagine myself as a conduit, and I would imagine their pain or their physical pain, their emotional pain, just kind of washing through me and then just coming out the other end, not just bottling up. So one patient that we had, she was a 17-year-old girl who came from a group home because she allegedly tried to commit suicide by ingesting a whole bunch of pills. But when I went to her with the resident doctor, like I saw just like mascara just streaking down her face. So she'd apparently cried and she was very quiet, not smiling at all. And when the resident did her physical examination to make sure she wasn't hurt in any other way besides the ingestion, we saw a lot of like cuts from self-harming, just down her arms, across her thighs and whatnot. And I think without those metaphors of being open to her pain and her circumstances before, I probably would have just closed off and kind of scared to reach out, and I'd probably just let her be. But with those two metaphors, being a conduit and open to that, just let me reach out to her. And it's not like I, you know, started talking to her, having a conversation, but I checked in once in a while. I asked her if she needed anything, and I was able to get a few smiles from her. So I thought that was one moment where I thought it was working, and I felt connected to the patient instead of seeing her as, you know, someone who's cutting herself or someone who just ingested a whole bunch of pills to kill herself. I saw her as, you know, she's 17. She's not that much different from myself. She probably has the same pain. She's human, just like me. And those two tools just helped me a lot, and I felt more grounded, and I didn't feel myself clam up, and I felt more connected to the patients that I was seeing. All of these lives are being shattered, and they're being rebuilt at the same time, and there's hope, and there's hope lost, and there's so many stories just being written and rewritten in the same space at the same time. And as a doctor and also as a volunteer, you're there to be in those stories and help co-write these stories as they're happening. And these are just lives changing. These are some of like the scariest things that these patients have ever experienced. And to be able to be present in that space, I think, is amazing.
That story was produced by Zandra Clark, from an interview conducted by Eliza Iqbal and Rachel Hamburg.